Welcome back to Phantom Island, presented by Homefield. This episode is a little different from what you're used to hearing on Wednesdays from us. Instead of Godfrey and I, or one of us and a guest, talking through a sports question we find interesting, today you're going to hear from three people at Vanderbilt University who have all had three very big and very different roles in the revival of Vandy women's volleyball. And I want to acknowledge a few groups that make doing an episode like this one possible. There's our producer, of course, Michael Serber, who was instrumental in helping me shape what this looked like. Second, and no less important, are the paying members of the Phantom Island audience. We tend to mostly discuss the paywalled content when we talk about our supporters, but your backing helps make everything Stephen and I do on this show, including this project. So thank you very much to those of you who have already signed up, and if you haven't, but you're thinking about it, go to phantomisland.show to see our subscription options. I also want to thank our presenting sponsor, Homefield. If you've listened to Phantom Island before, you've heard me wax about the striking collegiate designs and variety of comfortable crewnecks, t-shirts, jackets, hoodies, and so forth that Homefield offers. If you haven't listened before, well, go to homefieldapparel.com to see what I'm talking about. We haven't really acknowledged that Homefield is doing something a little different by sponsoring Phantom Island. This is not a show exclusively about college football, the thing Godfrey and I have usually specialized in, and we very much appreciate their faith and support as we try new and different directions with our work. Though, for the record, Homefield will sell you a Vandy t-shirt with the Commodore casually leaning against a cannon like it's a kitchen counter. Okay, Cerber, let's get the theme music and start this one up.
Every rustle in the trees, a potential snare. Close my eyes and block my ears. Cut the cord, or leave me here.
Thank you all for joining us, as today's announcement has been a long time coming. For some, it's one that people have been waiting to hear for more than four decades. So it is with great excitement, pride, and optimism that I say, volleyball is back.
Steve Spurrier is probably the most visible and best-known coach in the history of University of Florida sports. There was a time there when Billy Donovan was maybe approaching that territory, and Becky Burley literally built the women's soccer team into a national champion. But for me, the steadiest presence in Gainesville for basically my whole life has been Mary Wise. For 34 years, Wise led the women's volleyball team at UF starting in 1991, the year after Spurrier showed up, until February 2025. She didn't technically start the volleyball program. It had sort of muddled along for a few years before Florida hired her, but Mary Wise is Gator volleyball. It is, without a doubt, a thing she built that carries her fingerprints on it. This is why I found it kind of poetic to see Mary Wise on campus at Vanderbilt University this August for Match 1, the home opener for Vandy's reinstated women's volleyball team. For 45 years, Vanderbilt didn't sponsor this sport, shuttering the team in 1980. The presence of Wise felt, to me at least, like a reminder of what everyone was actually here to see. Not Match 1 per se, but Match 1 of 1,000. We're going to talk more about this event itself later, an indoor volleyball game played on an outdoor court constructed on the lawn in between the psychology department and the fine arts building. What intrigues me about the return of Vanderbilt volleyball is the path to get to Match 1 in the first place. That is a story that starts all the way back in April 2022.
David Williams, who was our longtime athletic director, was always interested in adding sports. He always would try to figure out what would be the optimal time. And I was the SWA for Vanderbilt for several years under his leadership. And so one of the things I was charged with was doing some homework on what those potential sports could be. And volleyball was one of those sports.
Candace Story Lee is the Vice Chancellor for Athletics and University Affairs and the Athletic Director at Vanderbilt. A women's basketball team captain, she played on the 2002 team that won the SEC tournament, and she's been a part of the athletic department basically ever since.
So I spent some time like in 2018, 2017, somewhere around there is when we really started to look. I even visited some other institutions. I spent some time at Penn State watching them compete and just had a lot of conversations, including with the coach at Kentucky, about the growth of the sport and You know, I felt very strongly once we began some of our own construction projects after I became the athletic director, we had some key projects that really kind of provided that domino effect. And one of the things that I saw when I was the deputy AD and when I was the SWA, you have to be really careful how you add a sport. You want to make sure that you're setting that sport up for sustainable success. It makes all the sense in the world for us to have volleyball. You know, we were one of, at the time, we were one of two Power Five schools that did not sponsor it. And as I dug into our history, you know, I learned about the 1979-80 team and thought, this seems like the perfect opportunity for a resurgence as we were celebrating the 50th anniversary of Title IX. We also, because of our facility projects, knew that we could create a great place for them to play and to practice and not impede the progress of our other teams. You see how fast volleyball is growing around the country and certainly in our region. I mean, we're seeing it everywhere. So it seemed like the stars aligned and just had great support from our chancellor and from our board because we felt like we could be competitive right away.
Think about what usually goes into hiring a coach. You have to find someone who can work with the existing roster while building a new one. You need to decide if you're trying to maintain the strategic direction of the last coach or try something new. You're either selling someone on the opportunity to improve on the past struggles of your team or maintain a legacy of success. None of that applies in this situation. You are hiring a coach for a team that doesn't exist. It's all a blank slate. If you're an athletic director, how do you find the right candidate for this kind of construction project? If you're interviewing for the job, what do you ask to decide if this is the task you want to take on?
I first got reached out to by the search firm in October of 22, and then I was hired, you know, in late December of 22. So that is a marathon of a hiring process in the college athletics world. Like, that does not happen.
Anders Nelson played on Ball State's men's volleyball team and spent most of his coaching career at Kentucky, where he was part of the 2020 squad that won the first women's volleyball national title in SEC history.
It's very unique to have the time that, you know, Vanderbilt had, but also that I had to prepare and just to think about the opportunity. And I think interviewing for a job that doesn't exist is weird. But I do think that I did a nice job of showing who I am, which is a planner and an optimist and somebody who, you know, wants to stay at one place for a long time. And I think I portrayed all of those things, and I think they fit well with this situation. But yeah, the biggest thing was just making sure that I articulated the plan and articulated the vision I had, because like you said, it wasn't like we were replacing somebody else or changing anything. It was just wanted to make sure that I had, you know, I was the best candidate at just explaining how I would do it. And I think that stood out, but also the time I had to prepare allowed me to do that.
Certainly every coaching search is different, but the volleyball search was completely different because I didn't have the same time constraints. So you usually go into those searches and you feel like at least you've got this finite amount of time, right, to find the next leader. And you're trying to react and respond to whatever has caused the vacancy to occur, right? So if somebody retires, that's certainly different from if I've determined that it's time for a change there, you know. And this was different because we're starting from scratch. And so in some ways, there was the luxury of not having to necessarily have like a deadline. And yet, I did want to move as swiftly as possible because it's like everything's riding on this first milestone of determining who the leader is. And we got great, great responses, right? Like, I mean, I walked into that search and I've learned over time, like I try not to go into the searches with this very like prescriptive idea because I want to be able to change my mind if I need to change my mind. You know, I want to be open to that. But I really, truly thought, I'm going to hire a sitting head coach because, like, I mean, you should expect that someone with experience is going to be the best person to start something from scratch. In my mind, that's very logical. And so I start interviewing all these coaches, and I just kept hearing about this guy, Anders Nelson. I knew who he was because Kentucky, I mean, what Coach Skinner has done at at Kentucky is tremendous. And so, I knew who Anders was, but I really felt like, you know, I can take my time here and I can really, you know, do my homework on these head coaches. You know, the more time you have, the more you feel like you can mitigate risks. It's always a risk anyway when you're hiring somebody, no matter how much time you have, but sort of felt like you could do even more. And I kept thinking about, you know, I know we're going to send a certain signal, right? Every coaching hire, you're sending a signal. So it's like, we're going to send a signal, you know, and I want that signal to be, we are serious about volleyball here. And man, I mean, talked to some incredible people and kept hearing about Anders Nelson. And I thought, okay, I'm going to have a conversation with him, right? And we're, you know, we've got time, so I'm going to hop on a Zoom. I'm going to have a conversation. We'll see where it goes. That first conversation was just tremendous. I mean, we were on Zoom. I remember his backdrop. I remember everything about the conversation because it really blew my mind. I remember telling my husband after I got off the computer with him that I felt like he had bugged my office because of the language that he was using. We were using very similar language, but it was very authentic. It was very sincere, and it really kind of shocked me. And I still wanted to go back and be really deliberate with my search, but he stuck with me. And so it was only a few days later that I invited him and his husband to come down, spend the day with us, come to dinner. And I mean, I knew before he came that I was going to offer him that job. And he just every day has affirmed that decision. I would watch Anders over the course of, you know, the runway leading up. And I thought, gosh, imagine if I would have had a 3-year runway to becoming the athletic director. Now, it's still harder when you're talking about creating something from scratch. I mean, you know, I walked into a situation that existed already, and Anders did not. But, you know, it takes real courage to do that.
Okay, it's December 2022. You've completed step one and found a coach. Now you have started a very, very long clock preparing to build a team that can compete in an intensely competitive conference. The SEC has just led all conferences with 7 bids to the women's volleyball tournament. The good news, maybe, is that none of those programs won the title or even made it past the Sweet 16. The bad news is that Texas, the team that did win the national championship, is about to become an SEC member. But you're still years away from your first game in competition, and there's a lot to be done. Remember all those challenges about bringing on a head coach for a new program? They exist in recruiting too, and in some ways they're even harder. You have to convince young players to buy into the idea of a program, and because of the extended timeline, you have to sell them all on coming to Vanderbilt for a year without playing NCAA matches. That includes getting some transfers who've been in active competition and will now just not for a season.
My official visit was actually with 2 other girls who we were recruiting at the time, one of them being Reese Animichon, who is our outside currently. She's also my year. She's a sophomore. And I remember being on her official visit, and it was also my official visit, and I had already committed. So I was honestly like recruiting her to a school that I hadn't even been to yet, which it's really funny looking back on it. Me and Reese are really close now. So we like always joke about that because I knew how great of a player she was just from club. And I was like, we need to get this girl. So my dad he's a college basketball coach. So he knows a lot about the recruiting side of things. So he would always talk to me. He's like, hey, you have to make sure like you're, you know, selling the program and whatever you love about it, make sure you emphasize that to the recruits. So I just remember being on their official, and it's cool to look back on because I like got to sell the program before being there. Mm-hmm. But I honestly just remember talking about the vision that the coaches had, and the school sells itself just because the academics and the location. But trying to get people to trust in something that you can't see is really difficult. So I think getting to be there and getting to meet the girls, and I think Anders did a great job of going after people who he knew had a lot of courage and he knew that would want to do something like this.
Haley Mack, a sophomore libero, was the first player to commit to Vanderbilt. She was also part of the first girls volleyball team at IMG Academy in Florida.
But I think like starting a college program is obviously going to be a little different than starting a high school or club program. But I definitely think like the culture, having to create that for yourself, having to, you know, establish rules, like how are we going to even do warm-ups? How are we going to like present ourselves to other teams, like those type of things, I never thought about before on my other teams because that was established before you. So I think the experience at IMG definitely helped a lot with just, you know, getting to talk through those things when I got to Vanderbilt of how me and the other girls wanted to, you know, start up the culture, start up how we went about things for the next generations of Vanderbilt volleyball players.
It's really impressive that they were able to see the, you know, the vision and, you know, the long-term, you know, gains that they could have from starting a program from scratch, especially at a place like Vanderbilt. You know, I think you start with the things that Vanderbilt has to offer, which is, you know, one of the main reasons I wanted this job is that I knew it would attract high achievers because of the academics that we have. And that was definitely, it appealed to every single transfer we have on our roster. The academics did for sure. Second thing is Nashville. I mean, I told them like, yes, you're going to have to take a year off. Yes, it's going to be hard, but you get to spend that year in Nashville. You know, one of the greatest cities in the United States and one of the most fun cities in the United States. And you know, it happened pretty quickly where, you know, all of their friends are coming to visit them here. And that's a cool thing for a college student to have that and to live in a place that's desirable by, you know, so many of your friends and family. So that was a huge part of it too. But then we really, really, you know, relied heavily on the dream and just talking a lot about, you know, you shouldn't come here if you're not obsessed with where this program is going to be 10 years from now. And I've said the phrase, plant trees you'll never see to this group, especially our grad transfers and Jackie, so many times over the last year and a half, just because I want them understanding that this is hard and it's very hard what we're doing, but the gains they're going to see from it are, you know, years from now, and the pride they're going to have from it is just going to keep growing and getting stronger. And that's one of my favorite parts about college athletics is just the pride you carry with you throughout your career. And this is going to be a different kind of pride. And they know that, I know that. We just really, really leaned heavily into that and making sure we found people that appealed to as well.
You know, when we began in 2022, 12 full scholarships was the max for volleyball.
Yep.
And now, you know, the roster limit is 18. So that's a difference. And when your scholarships are as expensive as ours are, you know, that was something that we had to pivot and make sure that we could take care of. But that was also just a result of the landscape changing, which impacted not just volleyball, but every sport.
You have now made it to the 2024 season. You are so close. The coaching staff is in place. The team is assembled. Everyone is on campus, but you still have a year to go. What happens now that the idea of a volleyball program starts to take on a very tangible quality?
I said the phrase boredom is the enemy so many times to our coaching staff because I knew if we put our team through back-to-back off seasons, which is essentially what we did, we would lose them. And, you know, they would lose the fire and passion. So we practiced Monday through Thursday. We took Fridays off. I wanted to, you know, let them be college students, understanding how much they were sacrificing. And if they wanted to go somewhere after, you know, class, you know, on Thursdays, if they didn't have Friday class, I wanted them to be able to do that kind of stuff. But we practiced, 2.5 hours Monday through Thursdays, you know, in the fall, it was only 9. We had 10 here, but one was injured. So we scrapped together, you know, enough of a practice squad to be able to play 6v6. Sometimes we played a lot of 5v5. We played grass volleyball in Centennial Park. We made that a part of, you know, what we did. So again, we tried to have a lot of variety, but it was all about training. And we took a lot of good athletes that needed a lot of training and still need a lot of development. So we were really focusing on just making them, you know, get better. And our team theme for last year was water your bamboo. And, you know, you water it and water it, water it, can't see anything. And then it just sprouts. And we talked a lot about how this year we're going to work really hard, but it's going to be all in, you know, in darkness, silence. Nobody's going to see it. But there's some freeingness to that and some power to that. So yeah, again, just trying to keep it fresh, but also getting them better every single day. And that's a challenge, you know, when it is as long as it was. But this place, again, attracts high achievers. It attracts people who understand that hard work equals reward. And we made that very clear, like you're putting in the work now, you know, for the rewards later.
When I walked into our practice facility for the first time, so it used to be basketball's practice facility. And when they said it, and it happened, the change happened over the holiday break. where, you know, all the basketball stuff comes down, the volleyball stuff goes up, the graphics change, the, you know, everything changes. And I walk into that space for the first time and got emotional. You know, I'm a very old basketball player now, but, you know, I remember that space as the basketball practice facility, of course, and I practiced in there, right, as a student athlete. And to walk in there and see it now transformed for volleyball, that was for me personally, the first time that I was like, oh, this is for real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course I knew. I mean, I hired the coach. I did. But like to walk in there and you see Vanderbilt volleyball and they had on practice stuff that matched. And it's like, we have a team. We have a real team. And it's just a team of like scrappy, confident, just really incredible young women. Because, and I told them, I said, I will forever be indebted to you because, like, you allowed me, and me being we, to collectively like paint a vision that we couldn't show you.
Yeah.
You know, like we laughed, like Haley and I did a video together, and I didn't realize till we did that video that when she came on her visit, we didn't even have a volleyball on campus. Like, we didn't even have a volleyball to show her. And it takes some faith to take that leap. And so I'm super grateful for that, you know, that they would do that. But long way of saying, you know, if you get a bunch of people like that together, they are going to coalesce around, you know, something special. Like, there is something beautiful that happens when you do that.
Last year, I remember the first practice, and I was like, wait, this is going to be a weird year. I'd never really, like, set into me. Like, we were in our rec gym. We didn't have, like, a gym or a locker room yet. But there were volleyballs for the first time, and there was a net set up, so that was really cool. And I remember, like, a camera crew coming in. They were just recording us, and I was like, wow, this feels real. This is crazy. And then probably the second moment was in the spring, when we had almost our full team and we were playing our first spring match against Tennessee. And there was a huge crowd at Brentwood High School. And it just felt so surreal actually getting to play our first game and kind of show people, or at least show like the Nashville area, what we kind of been working towards those past few months where no one could see what we were doing behind the scenes. So I think those two moments definitely felt, I guess, the most special, and the fact that I was getting to experience it with like some of my closest friends, just because we've gotten so close from being together all the time for those past few months.
The second athletes step on campus, your job just totally shifts.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe my number one priority is being there for our athletes and helping them succeed and pushing them to succeed. And that consumes a lot of time, as it should. So I think, yes, as the second athletes moved in, it was like, we're volleyball coaches again. Like, this is no longer just this fun thing we're doing. This is no longer just this dream we're building. Like, this is it now. I think the other cool part was that we tried our best to learn what it was like to be a student at Vanderbilt in that first year and a half, but I didn't really know. And I didn't really have a good idea of what their day-to-day life was like. And getting to do that for a year before we started competition, like, man, did we learn a ton about housing and, you know, meals and transportation and all of apartments close to campus, all of that kind of stuff that we just hadn't really even touched on in that first year and a half. And then all of a sudden, you know, we dove deep into it. So, yeah, it was really beneficial for us, the athletes. They had a, you know, it was a special year for them developmentally. But like I said, it was hard. And when the athletes stepped up foot on campus, things did change for sure. For, you know, a month there, it was just Russ and I, like it was just the two of us. So we read books. Culture Code was a huge, you know, book for us in that first year and a half. And I spent a lot of time talking about what we wanted it to be like when athletes got here. And then we talked a lot about, you know, our strengths as coaches. And like I said, just getting a deeper understanding of each other. And yeah, our division of responsibilities within our staff has changed a lot over the last 2.5 years. And again, just I'm grateful that we had the first, you know, 2.5 years to just do that without the, you know, pressures of competition. But even now we're talking about our in-match roles and like, do we like where they're at? And I think we might make a change coming up here pretty soon on just a minor thing. But those are things that you can plan for and plan for and plan for. But until you get in the thick of it, like you can't make true decisions. So we did our best. And I think, again, all the coaching staff has gotten a lot better in terms of just our skills and how we lead. And but yeah, we've settled into a nice rhythm for the most part, especially off the court. But on the court, like I said, we're still kind of figuring that out and figuring out what's going to be best for our athletes, you know, in the heart of a match.
obviously it's hard to believe in something when you can't actually see like the results of it. Mm-hmm. But I think that's what makes this group so special, is because it takes a lot of courage and a lot of bravery to come in and not even know like how good the team is. And you don't know like the record from previous years or how many wins or losses the team has had. And I think that's what, I guess, bonds this group so much, is that we all, like our coaching staff, I would say our coaching staff is one of the best in the countries, and that all of our coaching staff has been successful where they were before. And I just think that that was kind of just a leap of faith that every single person on the team had to take, but that's what makes this group so special.
I mentioned I would come back to match one. The idea of playing your first on-campus match in over four decades outside in August felt a little bit audacious. You gotta worry about the weather, which could be oppressively hot or pouring rain, and you need a good crowd, since sound isn't gonna carry the same way it will inside. And honestly, it was absolutely tremendous. You could not have asked for a more beautiful evening, with nearly 3,500 people packed into the temporary bleachers to watch the Vandy women beat Belmont in four sets. It set this really perfect tone for the return of this team. You are here for something special, and while it will literally not always look like this, the beginning matters. The towering old trees that line the lawn evoke this sense of long arcs and steady growth. What started in 2022 had to take root for 3 years just to get here, but the plan is to keep growing, keep reaching higher into the sky.
So I want to give credit to Anders, because he definitely pushed us as an administration and as a staff to think about how can we launch the program in a memorable way. So mm-hmm. you know, this that conversation starts like 2 years ago. Right now, we had not yet figured out that we were going to do match one on our campus outside, but we knew that match one needed to be something special. We started thinking about places downtown in Nashville we could do it. I mean, we thought of all kinds of things. And there were so many different hurdles to overcome, especially like when you don't control the space. And we were sitting in a meeting, and somebody on my team says, "Mike, why don't we just do it on Peabody, on Wyatt Lawn? Like, that'd be pretty awesome." And I'm like, oh my goodness, like if we did, that's a great idea. Because if we did, maybe we could sort of brand it like we're launching the program, like we're launching the freshman class, because mm-hmm. all the first years, that's where they live. So then somebody's like, well, you know, we can make it part of orientation. And what if we get in front of, you know, the team that does orientation? And so then you've got this captive audience of students, you know. So it just went from there. I mean, it was an idea pitched by a staff person in a meeting. And I remember calling Anders and saying, okay, listen, so I know we were thinking something different. What do you think about this? I actually think, and I knew it was going to be expensive. Like it wasn't like we were going to, you know, it was going to reduce expenses. And if we went downtown, it might've been even more expensive, but it was like, what a cool opportunity. We ended up having entities within campus that helped to sponsor. We had external sponsors. We ended up having a concert. We had food trucks. But I think that what was cool about it is that this program, it launched within our community. Mm-hmm. You know, match one, like it had, like it was before we went downtown 2 days later.
Yep.
Before we began competing, you know, in Memorial. We started right there on our campus with a local school. So there was some Nashville flair. I mean, it was really very special. And one of the most touching things to me, we had a reception prior to the match. And one of our fans, one of our longtime fans, who I usually see at basketball, she was there. She's like, Candace, you have to meet these three women. And they were three women who were on the 1979 team. And we took pictures, and I got to talk to them, and they took such great pride in being there for the launch. That was just, it was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful moment. And, you know, at Vanderbilt, we're getting ready to celebrate our 150th anniversary of actually having, like, our first class at Vanderbilt. So we've been open or we've been in existence for 152 years, but we've been like officially, you know, operating with students for 150 years. And so I've been doing lots of reading. We all have, and learning about our history. And, you know, we've had, we've never been a place that prohibited women as students, right? So even at the beginning when we had all male classes, women were not in the classes officially, but they were never prohibited. So mm-hmm. you would have like the daughters of some of the professors who would sit in classes, even though it was several years later before they actually recognized, right, the first female graduate. And I mean, we started playing, we had women who played basketball at Vanderbilt in 1896. I mean, that is 5 years after basketball was invented. That's incredible, right? Yeah. That's part of our DNA, right? Like women having opportunities to compete is part of who we are. And I love that. You know, there is something here that sort of connects to your roots. And so having like the women from the first team there, and having the first year students there, having you there with your daughter, where you hope that builds affinity at a young age. I mean, there's just something very transformative about sports. And I love that volleyball could be a tangible example of that.
You know, I had so many people that I was close to that were pushing me to enjoy the moment. And that's hard when you're competing. It just is. And yeah, we threw some major curveballs at our team. Playing outside is not easy. I think, you know, who's the better team kind of goes out the window when you throw in the elements of sun and heat and potential rain. So yeah, that stuff is a challenge. And I got asked a few times after the match, like, please make this an annual thing. And I'm like, absolutely not. Like it was wonderful. It was so wonderful for what it was. And I will tell you, Ryan, I'm glad you were able to be there. The atmosphere and just the environment was far surpassed my expectations. And I don't know what I expected. I went into it, you know, telling people I wanted to make a splash and that our photo, video, media from that event better carry our program for, you know, 5 years. Like mm-hmm. that's what I want from this. And we talked a lot about how in a way the drone footage is going to be just as important as a lot of the other, you know, our higher priorities. Because when you do an event like that, it has to make the splash if you want to get what you want out of it. So yeah, the team behind it, Andrew Marinus and Lauren Ricker, absolutely crushed it. Pilar Bela, our SID, who took all the pictures and organized all our social media through that. Just an unbelievable job from an execution standpoint. But yeah, it's not easy to do something like that. And for the atmosphere to turn out the way it did. And like you said, it was high pressure, but in the best ways. And I'm just so excited that was a lot of, you know, Nashville and Vanderbilt, their first experience to a high level college volleyball match, because what a great start. And, you know, one of our parents of our families, their older daughter won a national championship in volleyball. And they came up to me afterwards and they said, you know, national championship is tops. This is right below it in terms of best sporting events we've ever been to. And that's what I wanted. And that's what I hoped for. What I will say that really surprised me was Vanderbilt's buy-in and Vanderbilt's support. A lot of what you saw was contributed by Vanderbilt University, not by the athletic department. Because they wanted to make this a really special event for the students as well. And from the match to the student section, which was absolutely unreal. And I hope we see, you know, all of them tomorrow night again here against Minnesota and Memorial. But then getting to go up on stage with Julia Cole afterwards, like it was like a Nashville dream the whole night was. And then the weather couldn't have been better. So, yeah, looking back on it, I know I'll look back on it for years and just, you know, remember that feeling, you know, in the fourth set of what it felt like late and just feeling, you know, the support behind us. But what a cool event for our players, for us, for the university, for all involved.
It was amazing. It was like the setup, first of all, they did a great job making it like feel like, I guess, very close, like quarters, like the fans were right on top of us. We could hear them like, I just think the setup was amazing and getting to see like Wyatt Lawn in the background. I mean, it was beautiful. And then I just think I was mostly shocked by how into it the crowd was because I didn't really know what to expect. A lot of these students haven't even seen a volleyball game in person. And I just thought them cheering and then them celebrating when we got the point, like that was just so cool to see. And it was so cool to see how like much they were into it. And I just didn't expect that. And I'm excited for our game today and see how, you know, they can get into it in Memorial Gymnasium.
In the interviews I conducted for this episode, I kept hearing about long-term goals. The measuring sticks for volleyball at Vanderbilt aren't all about this season or even the next one. Many of them extend far beyond the collegiate careers of anyone on this year's roster. At the same time, the return of the volleyball program is also about the past. Everyone around the team and the athletic department is very careful to use the right verbs. Vandy didn't start or launch this team in 2025. It was here before, long ago, with players for whom seeing a volleyball team back on campus means something very different.
So actually, prior to the announcement, we found as many members of the team as we could. And so we actually, you know, broke the news to them first and invited them to join us at the press conference. Now, no one could physically join us.
Yeah.
But no, we've been in contact since then. So wanted them to know, you know, and I've tried. That's why I loved at the beginning when you said, you know, you talked about bringing volleyball back. We're really careful with our words that, you know, we didn't start volleyball this year, right? Like it existed, it went away for a while. We've now had a resurgence, and you know, because I want to respect the fact that we've had so many people who were connected before and who are part of that origin story, and so that's how we talk about it. So no, we really excited about. I hope that they feel connected, and we're still identifying people, and so the word is getting out, and you know, it sort of starts to take on a life of its own. But I credit our staff. I mean, I think Honors has done a great job of making sure that people feel welcome.
For me and for a lot of the girls, when you sign up to start a program, you're signing up probably for a lot of bumps along the road. So it's, you know, it's never going to be perfect, I'd say. And I guess our goals probably have to be a little bit different than the everyday, like, college volleyball player. But for me, I still want to compete for championships, just like Anders wants to do down the road. And I think, yeah, when we signed up, we know that we want to build something that's going to last many years later so we can come back and look on our careers and look at the new teams at Vanderbilt and be proud of what we built. But I guess that doesn't change my goal. If I still want to compete for championships, I still want to win, obviously. And I think this year a good goal that we have is to make it to the NCAA tournament and I guess from there just to keep building. But I definitely, my biggest goal is to be able to look back on my experience and see the impact I made and see the culture we set. And I hope to see that continue years to come, even when we're not playing volleyball at Vanderbilt anymore.
5 years from now, we better be winning, you know, postseason matches. And it's hard to predict what that'll look like, especially when college athletics keeps getting flipped around. And you know, is being in a high academic school like Vanderbilt a plus, a negative? You know, it almost feels like it changes day to day right now. So, you know, I can't predict the future, but I didn't take this job just to have fun and see what we could do. Like, we took this job because we all know the experience it offers athletes, and I feel like it can attract the best athletes in the country. And if you can attract the best volleyball players in the country, you should be setting your sights on winning a lot of matches. And we're fortunate that we get to play in the SEC and we get to get the constant measuring stick against the very best, which is Kentucky, Texas, Florida, A&M. Like, they're the best in the country. So the fact that we get those tests over and over and over again is going to help us just learn more quickly as well of what we need. But yeah, I hope that we're pushing for, you know, Sweet 16's, Final Fours at that point. And our young players would be, you know, either just graduating or just finishing up. And I know that they have high goals for where this program is when they leave it, you know, when they leave with their diploma as well.
I'm fully aligned with Anders in terms of, you know, his vision for how he thinks about, you know, the program in like 5-year chunks. And he was very thoughtful even in the interview process of articulating what he thought those steps were. He certainly had a lot of experience in building a successful program at Kentucky. You know, I think about it because I think that we're builders here. I think that that's kind of what we're doing at Vanderbilt. And I could point to many different programs and show that. You know, for me, what success would look like is for us to reach our potential. I could just say that in one line. Now we can talk about what all that means, right? So, you know, recruiting young people who fit Vanderbilt in every way, character-wise and socially and academically and athletically. I mean, you know, we want people who are elite at what they do and also align with our values, right, and what we want to see in this community. A successful volleyball program is going to bring the community together and build affinity, right, and generate great support. if we're going to reach our potential and be successful, that means we're competing at a high level. You know, we had an alumni group here recently, and we talked about, I said, you know, I sometimes think that people mistake when we say we're here to create the best student athlete experience in the world. I think that sometimes people hear that and think that we're not here to win. And I don't see how you can have a great student athlete experience if you don't win. So, you know, I feel
based
like
on the student athletes I've talked to, I think they would all agree.
Yeah, I mean, so to me, you know, it's almost like it should go without saying, but perhaps we need to make sure that we say it. And so the way these young people push themselves, and I mean, it's been 410 years since I was a student athlete, but it's like, I know how much goes into what they're doing, right? To work on their craft, to do all of the things that we ask of them. They want to win. They're spending too much time to not want to, like, they want to win. And so that's an important component of success as well. But, you know, I think that 5 to 10 years from now, if that's the time frame that we're looking at, I mean, I think that it will feel like, and this to me will be a metric of success. I think about my husband and I, we were on vacation and we were having breakfast, and this guy like sits at the table next to us, and he had on this shirt that said, "One day it will look like it happened overnight." And my husband said, "Oh my God, Candace, like that shirt, like you got to, you know," we laugh, like, "I got to get that shirt." And so I think one metric of success will be when people always thought we had a volleyball program. Mm-hmm, they always thought we were good. They always, like, they don't remember match one because they all, like, they just don't remember because we just are a powerhouse, and they think it's always been like that. Right. And, you know, there was a time where Kentucky wasn't a powerhouse. They hadn't always been like that, but like people don't know that now.
Right.
They just know they're really, really good, you know? And so that will mean success for us. Right. That's when great. People yeah. are like, I mean, oh yeah, Vanderbilt volleyball. Yeah. You know, that'll be great. I can't wait. I think it's going to happen sooner than later, but I can't wait.
If you're listening to this episode the day it comes out and you happen to live in Middle Tennessee, you have one more chance to see Vandy volleyball play a home match on Friday, November 7th, when they host the Tennessee Volunteers at 7 p.m. But if you can't make that, well, hopefully you'll have many opportunities to catch them in person or on television in the years to come. Phantom Island is produced by Michael Serber. The in-game audio you heard during this episode was provided courtesy of Vanderbilt Athletics. Our theme song is also called Phantom Island from the album of the same name by King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon.